Good morning, everyone, and welcome this morning to the live stream worship for the United Community Church of Morrisville, where I'm the interim pastor, and also for the Essex Center United Methodist Church, where my compatriot Mitchell Hay is the pastor. It's good to have you with us. Where we're broadcasting from, it is a beautiful, cool, sunny summer morning. It's just about perfect right here. So if you are with us, we say welcome doubly because you're giving up time to be outdoors, to be along with us. It's good to have you together as we join as the disparate but somehow united body of Christ.
We also want to welcome this morning those of you who are connecting to this worship service via phone. Facebook now allows folk to be able to phone in on a landline or by a cell phone. And we welcome you who are listening to the audio portion of this service. You will not get to see the juggling or the flying through the fiery hoops, but I hope the spoken word will still be worshipful for you.
Right. So this morning, we welcome you to worship in whatever way you come. And looking back over this week, which for me, for a variety of reasons, all of them good, has been a really, really full week. I have to say, I come to this worship tired.
But there's a place for you, and there's a place for us all.
And I know this week, as I've been in touch with people by phone, some of the folks I've spoken to have been very lonely.
And there's a place for them, and a place for us all.
And so whether you come to this worship sick or hungry or hurt, whether you've been worn by the world, whether you can't even bear to look at yourself in the mirror because you've seen so much of yourself in the last weeks,
there's a place for you and for us all.
This is a place where everyone's held safe. This is a place where everyone is loved. Mm-hmm. This is a place where we can lay our burdens down.
Where is this place? It is in the embrace of God. It is in the peace of Christ. It is in the wings of the Holy Spirit.
So if you've ever wondered, is there a place for me?
There's a place for you. There's a place for us all. Amen.
Amen.
There's a part in our worship that we used to call the invocation back in the day, kind of a terrible word, as though we were somehow, by our power, invoking the presence of the divine. But we call it now the opening to God time, where I invite you to open your hearts to welcome in the presence of God's Spirit. So I invite you to really be present wherever you're sitting right now, or standing, or lying down. Whether you're in bed with a cup of coffee, or you are outside on your porch, or just finding a quiet space, take a moment to breathe deeply. Be fully present. Breathe in deeply as though it's the very Spirit of God filling your lungs. And breathe out everything that keeps you from connecting to that which is love. And pray with me. Shaper of our hearts, birther of our souls, potter of all creation, giver of all good gifts, you are our life. In each breath, you breathe in us. In each step, you move in us. In each moment, you live in us. Be with us now as we worship you. Amen.
Amen. So this morning for our scripture readings, we have the co-moderators from the United Community Church in Morrisville. And the first of those is Carol Olson, and she'll be reading a piece of Romans 12 from the Message paraphrase. Carol?
So Paul says to us, so here's what I want you to do, God helping you. Take your everyday, ordinary life, your sleeping, eating, going to work, and walking around life, and place it before God as an offering. Embracing what God does for you is the best thing you can do for God. Don't become so well adjusted to your culture that you fit into it without even thinking. Instead, fix your attention on God. You'll be changed from the inside out. Readily recognize what God wants from you and quickly respond to it. Unlike the culture around you, always dragging you down to the level of immaturity, God brings out the best of you, develops well-formed maturity in you. I'm speaking to you out of deep gratitude for all that God has given me, and especially as I have responsibilities in relation to you. Living then, as every one of you does, in pure grace, it's important that you not misinterpret yourself as people who are bringing the goodness to God. No, God brings it all to you. The only accurate way to understand ourselves is by what God is and by what God does for us, not by what we are and what we do for God.
Thank you, Carol. And also Dot Reeve will be reading the next verses of Romans 12, but from the New Revised Standard Version.
For as in one body, we have many members, and not all the members have the same function. So we who are many are one body in Christ, and individually we are members one of another. Let love be genuine. Eschew that what is evil. Hold fast to what is good. Love one another with mutual affection. Outdo one another in showing honor. Do not lag in zeal. Be ardent in spirit. Serve the Lord. Rejoice in hope. Be patient in suffering. Persevere in prayer. Contribute to the needs of the saints. Extend hospitality to strangers. Bless those who persecute you. Bless and do not curse them. Rejoice with those who rejoice. Weep with those who weep. Live in harmony with one another. Do not be haughty, but associate with the lowly. Do not claim to be wiser than you are. Do not repay anyone evil for evil, but take thought for what is noble in the sight of all. If it is possible, so far as it depends on you, live peaceably with all.
Thank you, Dot. I love this passage in Romans 12. I can remember one of the pastors in the church, one of the churches I went to when I was in college, who said to us, if you read all of Romans 12, which actually isn't all that long, this is most of it right here. If you read Romans 12 every day for a month, you become a different person in the world, which is one of the reasons we chose this scripture for today. In my Wednesday evening live streams last Wednesday, I spoke about the poetry that for me is a spiritual practice. There, I find God's truth often in poetry, and I spoke about the poetry of Mary Oliver, and then just a couple of mornings ago, read another Mary Oliver poem that I had been unfamiliar with, where she talks about waiting for a swan to cover the pond and come to her, where she's standing on the side of the water, and she asks herself, how should I greet this swan? How should I be ready to embrace such a marvelous thing as it comes to me? And then she has this line: the path to heaven doesn't lie down in flat miles. It's the imagination with which you perceive the world and the gestures with which you honor it. The path to heaven is in the imagination with which you perceive the world and the gestures with which you honor it. That's why I love Mary Oliver poetry, because there are these nuggets that I think, oh yeah, that's true. That would be a good thing for me to live into today, maybe forever. And that she speaks about not just the grand things, but the ordinary everyday gestures. You know, how do I respond to the wild things in the world around me? How do I respond to the people who are in my day-to-day life? It is those gestures which are the path to heaven. And really, as I've been reflecting on it in the last couple of days, the Wednesday live streams of spiritual practices has been my attempt over these last weeks to just lay out kind of day-to-day gestures that can be the path of heaven. Thankfully, I did not think about that the first time, or I would have been too terrified to have done any of them, right? So I thought I was just doing day-to-day gestures. But paying attention to the way we breathe, paying attention to the way we open to the world around us, taking Sabbath, taking time to do the examen at the end of the day. Those are all ordinary gestures, and they open to us the path to heaven. Were you going to say something?
I just think of how few of our gestures are, how few of our literal gestures open up a path to heaven. I think of the last several gestures I might have done in public may not have opened much of a path to heaven at all. I've been thinking of the past week in my life, where I've been very carefully responding to somebody, it did not build bridges, even if I wanted that to happen. I could have chosen gestures that may have been more healing, more connection building than I did. So.
And we talk about this every week, right? This time of us being socially distanced, I think, puts more emphasis on the kinds of gestures that we have. What are the ways we connect with each other? Picking up the phone, or I know when I'm in the grocery store with a mask on, trying to make my eyes especially smiley, right?
Look, I'm crinkly now.
Right. When I'm in the checkout line and the clerk is clearly having a busy and difficult day, what are the ways that we do the things that help to join us, that help to connect us, which is a way along the path to heaven, I think, for us.
So when Paul wrote to the church, the infant church at Rome, the 12th chapter, and you know, Romans is the most dense piece of theological prose ever, but and you can spend a lifetime on any one of these chapters, but we especially like chapter 12 because it is addressed to how to live in community, and that's one of those primary things that pastors think about. How is it that we can, in the midst of our diversity, celebrate that and yet also have a unity that can bring security is not the right word, but a steadfastness that comes from a community that is in unity. And in part, chapter 12 gives us a set of guiding principles, actions, gestures that can help make a community work, even when it's very diverse. I have to say, Paul's community at Rome probably was wildly more diverse than ours in northern Vermont. And folk who had no connections to each other or no relationships outside the gathering in these little house churches were now cheek to jowl with one another. Slaves, freemen and free women, folks who had a Jewish upbringing, folks who had a pagan upbringing, rich, poor, and having to butt heads and butt hearts. It's interesting that Paul never uses a word that we're fond of here in North America for church. We like to talk about our church family because that shows an intimacy. But Paul doesn't use that word because families, especially when he's talking to a Roman audience and a Jewish audience, families are closed. You can't come into a family without some serious work. Paul doesn't call the church an institution. Paul calls the infant church a body. And with all the wonderful and messy aspects that come with that, bodies, unlike a family, a body needs to be constantly paid attention to, constantly cared for, constantly honored. And then he gives us a list of gestures by which we can honor each other in the body, where we can honor every part. And that, as Mary Oliver says, those gestures are how we build a path to heaven. We're going to read some of those gestures.
Yeah, just share some of them. So he starts out by saying, or one of the gestures that he offers is, love one another with mutual affection and outdo each other in showing honor. It's sort of a friendly competition, right?
Yeah, we outdo each other during coffee hour when we meet in person, but we can outdo each other in showing love as well and showing honor. Do not lag in zeal. Be ardent in spirit, serve the Lord.
He says, rejoice in hope and be patient in suffering. This has been a time that's required a lot of patience of us, I believe.
We weren't counting on over 100 days
of
patience. Persevere in prayer.
Yeah. He says, bless those who persecute you. Bless and do not curse them. That makes us think about some of those gestures that maybe we've used.
Yeah. Rejoice with those who rejoice. Weep with those who weep.
And to me, that's a great description of what church is about. Mm-hmm. Because church is one of the places where when we come together with our church community, we know there will be people there who will rejoice with us. Mm-hmm. And we know there will be people there who weep with us. And as I am in contact with other folks who don't have that kind of a community in their lives, one of the things I notice is that they don't have a place where if they weep, they know other people will weep with them. This is one of the gifts we give each other as the body of Christ.
One of the reasons why body is such an important metaphor for Paul is that bodies are vulnerable, and even as they are strong. And a faith community is one of the few places where it is safe to be vulnerable, to be able to come in and say, I failed, or something happened in my family, or I'm finding guilt or shame. Here's my shortcomings. I need to offer that up to God and to a community that I know won't abandon me because I'm part of the body, and I won't be abandoned any more than I would abandon a hand or a spleen or a pancreas. Here's my weakness, and I know you will weep with me. You may hold me accountable to help heal the community and heal where I've broken relationships, but I'm not going to be cut off.
So I think my second most favorite thing in this list is where Paul says, live in harmony and don't be haughty and don't claim to be wiser than you are. And I think, okay, so Paul knows something about human nature.
Yeah. And he's also incredibly realistic. The last line we have in the bulletin.
Which is my most favorite line.
If it is possible, so far as it depends on you, live peaceably with all.
Which is what you were trying to do this week when you were engaged in that conversation that didn't build the bridges that you were hoping.
Mm-hmm.
and you came up against how much it was possible for you.
Which was not very.
Right, and how much it was not possible for you. Yeah. And so to the best of your ability, you did the best you could.
Okay. Fortunately, Paul reminds us, is that it doesn't all depend on us, which is a darn good thing. I don't think the church would have survived a generation if it depended on us. It would have turned into a human institution purely and died a well-deserved death. The fact that the church is still here despite it depending on us, in part, is shows the presence of God's Spirit working in and through us. Mm-hmm. And it is that spirit of unity, and it is the love of Jesus Christ that we meet in one another and in worship and in the world that makes that community possible, despite ourselves, despite our worst aspects. When we think it does depend on all on us, we are definitely doing it wrong.
Right. So this week it's made us think about that, that favorite hymn, Bind Us Together. Bind us together, Lord, bind us together with cords that can never be broken. And when we think about cords, we think about ropes. And when we think about ropes, we think about knots because we sail. We're sailors.
Well, we sail. I'm not sure if we're sailors.
We're sailors. Yeah.
We fish too, but I don't think I'm going to call myself a fisherman.
Right. But both of those have a lot to do with knots. And so this morning, we're going to give you a quick knot lesson.
Very quick knot lesson.
Because it's all about knots. And the one of our taglines when we when we're sailing is, use the right knot for the job. If you don't know the right knot, tie lots of them. But this morning we want to talk to you about three kinds of knots and when certain knots are right for the job, right? So the first knot we want to talk about this morning is what's called an overhand knot. And we have visuals. So an overhand knot is, you all know how to do this, but I'll just show it to you. It's just that, right? A simple overhand knot. It's the most obvious thing in the world. It's very quick. If you want to put two ropes together, an overhand knot is a fast way to do it.
However, it has problems.
However, right.
It's not only undependable for holding two ropes together.
Right, because they'll work their way out.
It also weakens the line. And if what often happens on boats is that you get an accidental overhand knot, and man, boats can develop an incredible amount of power on these lines. And when they get closed really tight, when you come about or you jibe and boom, thousands of pounds on there, you are not going to get this sucker out. And you have to use a marlin spike and spend 20 or 30 minutes getting in there to undo the beast.
So overhand knots are quick and obvious, but they weaken the rope. When you're fly fishing, an accidental overhand knot is often when your fly line will break. And once they've gotten tight, they're almost impossible to adjust. Mm-hmm. So they're not always the best. You want to talk about slip knots.
You talk about the slip knots.
So if you want a knot that you know you can untie when you need to, well, then the obvious thing would be to do a slip knot, right? Mm-hmm. Because those are easy to adjust. They're easy to untie, right? Also very easy to tie, right? So this is a slip knot. Problem with a slip knot is if you're not careful, the end that you don't want to slip out will slip out, and a slip knot isn't reliable at all. And so if you're trying to secure a boat to a dock, if you're trying to secure a sail onto something on the boat, you don't want to use a slip knot, because even though it's easy and even though you'll be able to untie it, it's not reliable.
There's a knot that is pretty darn good for everything. I read today in Google that it's called the king of knots.
And if it says it on Google,
it must be right.
Must be true.
But it's called the bowline. And the bowline is a wonderful knot that is not so easy. You have to learn it. I mean, it is easy, but you have to learn it.
It's not intuitive.
It's not intuitive. And there's a wonderful children's mnemonic about making a rabbit hole, and the rabbit comes out of the hole and goes around the tree and back in the hole, and you have a bolin. And a bolin is wonderful. It's the boat. If you only know one knot, you can get away with this being the only one. It is it's the boat. It's I found out a bunch of years ago when we had our first dinghy. We were sailing on Lake Champlain, and I found out this is the knot that identifies you as a sailor, or if you don't know it, it identifies you as a landlubber, even if you are on a sailboat. We were out in the middle of Lake Champlain on our sweet dinghy, and the wind stopped, and that sweet, fast racing dinghy turned into a really slow canoe, and eventually a motorboat operator came and took pity on us and said, "Would you like a tow back in?" And we said, "Yes, thank you." And he throws a line, and I get the line, and I put it through the bow eye of the boat, and I go, "What kind of knot should I use?" And he goes, "Oh, just use a bowline." And I kind of gave him a blank stare, and he gave me a withering glare, and it shrunk my heart so bad that as soon as we got back home, I learned how to do a bowline. Because when you're being towed, this knot will, it is strong, it is there, it is not gonna let go. But after all that towing us miles, all you do is
take the tension off,
and it can be adjusted or undone.
So I learned to tie bowlines back when I was on a sailing outward bound in Maine. Hmm. Oh my, 30 plus years ago. And there they taught us how to do bowlines, and we practiced diligently, right? We were living on a sailboat, and you couldn't do certain jobs on the boat until you could do a bowline behind your back, right? And you could do that reliably. Then they knew that you were going to be okay. And again, for the same reason, because a bowline will not let go. If it's under tension, it'll hold, right? And if you need to adjust the bowline, if you decide that you want this loop to be longer, all you have to do is take the tension off. And it's very easy to adjust so that you can make it longer, you can make it shorter, you can do what you need to do once it's not under tension.
Right.
And then when it is under tension, it's absolutely reliable. And that is the knot that I think of when I think about Christian community.
Mm.
I use this metaphor a lot when I'm doing weddings. And I'll say to a couple, you know, you can do an overhand knot. It's pretty easy. But under tension, it gets where it can't be untied. And you don't want to do a slip knot in a relationship, mm-hmm. right? But you can do a bowline that will hold you together under tension. And then when the tension is off, you can make whatever adjustments you need so that the next time it suits that time's needs. And this is so apropos mm-hmm. to what we've been doing these days.
Yes, very much so. We've been using how to use relational bowlines in so many parts of our churches and in the larger culture. When Paul talks about the unity of the Holy Spirit and about the power of love, it's a relational bowline that he's describing. We as individuals, we have an ego self, we have an ego strength, and we tend to think of ourselves as self versus others, because we always want what our needs are. We need to get them met. And so we tend to want to go off in different directions, but it is what Paul describes as the power of love, and the unity of the Spirit is that which brings us into unity and into that firm grasp that we symbolize in a bowline here. Love we can see in an individual community. Cornel West reminds us that justice is what love looks like writ large in the larger community. Justice is love in public. And so Yeah, the Bolin is a wonderful symbol for all of those.
And at our best, mm-hmm. the church is love.
And at its best, the church is love and is a unity of the Holy Spirit.
And I think all of our churches, I know all of our churches have been doing a lot of adjusting. Mm-hmm. And as I mentioned last Sunday, and I'll say again, the United Community Church of Morrisville has done a lot of adjusting. Part of those of the United Methodist and UCC congregations coming together mm-hmm. has been a lot of figuring out whose knots are we going to use? Whose knots are we going to put together? What knots are we going to untie? What knots are we going to retie? And now that those churches have been together for 2-3 years, they're beginning a process of reworking some of the bylaws. Again, not to undo all the knots, but to say, where do we want to adjust some things, right? We talked about doing that back in March and April, right? And then in March and April, we were busy doing other things that we did to hold us together through the whole COVID crisis, right? There was no time to worry about bylaws because we were trying to learn how to live stream, right? There was no time to worry about what were the knots holding us together because we were working so hard just to be held together. Now that we're a little bit used to doing this weird thing, and it looks like we're going to be doing this weird thing for a little while, now we can take a bit of a breath and come back and look at what are the knots that we put together 2 or 3 years ago, and where might we adjust them so that they still hold us fast and in a better way, in a way that's better suited to 2020 rather than to 2017 or 18 when they were put together. I'm guessing Essex is similar.
Yeah, I've had a longer time being able to experience that. But yeah, we've been learning how to use relational Bolins, well, with me for 13 years. The Bolin being able to be firm under pressure, but adjustable, helped us get through a change of pastor 13 years ago. And we've been through lots of worship and ministry experiments over the years. And if everything was rigid, like an overhand knot that cannot be adjusted or undone, might have been weakened it. Whether it was a projection, multimedia projection every Sunday to Churches Left the Building, to Essex Seats Out, to Theology on Tap, lots of new things, but also things that often had a lifetime. Mm. They had a beginning, a middle, and a time for ending. More recently, we've been challenged with becoming a reconciling congregation. That required adjustment. COVID certainly, as you talked about, Black Lives Matter is what our congregations and our culture is needing to make some profound adjustments as we open our eyes to the plight of people of color in our culture, a voices we should have heard for the last 400 years and haven't. That is what Bolins are amazing for. They are strong when the pressure's on, and they can be adjusted and released
when
the pressure's off.
And then the last connection with this, again, for the United Community Church in Morrisville, is this is my last Sunday with you all as your interim, right? As of Wednesday, Reverend Becca Gorell is going to be your new settled pastor, as they say in the UCC.
Your
appointed pastor, as we say in the United Methodist Church.
I've never met a settled pastor.
Yeah,
we're always rather unsettled, but we'll go with that.
And so you all are going to begin the process of becoming connected with Pastor Becca, and choosing what are the knots that you will use to connect with her. And she will be figuring out how to become part of the knots in a good way. That's part of the United Community Church. As she and you do your ministry together in this unusual time, you're going to be adjusting what are the knots of how we minister to the community? What are the ways that we can return, not return back to, but go forward into new ways to serve meals, to be with the youth, to do all the things that this church has been known for in the community? And as part of this, I will no longer be your interim. I've been honored to have been able to be with you these last 6 months. I've sent out in a letter to you all, there are some things that I intended that we absolutely accomplished, and there are some things that I intended that we never got around to. And there are things that I had absolutely no idea we would be doing together that now we do together every Sunday. So it's been a fascinating time. I want to thank all of you for the ways that you've let me into your lives and into your congregation and into your hearts in this time. And I will always hold a piece of this congregation in my life and in my heart as a pastor, and I'll continue to hold you all in prayer. And I would be pleased if you would do the same for me. And though this has been a wonderful and fruitful and unusually exciting time, it's coming to an end. And so this is my bowl-in with you all. It's had a lot of adjusting these last 6 months. And this Sunday is the Sunday that I will be untying the knot that holds us together on a regular basis, so that you have lots of space and lots of time and lots of prayer and lots of spirit to connect with Pastor Becca and move forward in the many adventures that God has for you all.
And for Essex Center United Methodist Church, God willing, or Bishop willing and you're willing, you're going to be stuck with me for a while longer, and that will be a blessing, I pray, to all of us. So while our bowl-in will continue to be adjusted as necessary, I pray it continues to hold firm in love and in the unity of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Amen.
Thanks, you all.
Thank you. You want to tell us about our music?
Yes, we have a lovely piece of music that Catherine Parker is going to share with us. That's one of her spiritual practices, is playing on the organ during the week at church. She's also a beautiful photographer, and so she shared with us a video of Jesus, Lover of My Soul, on the organ, and some photographs that she has taken. So enjoy this, prepare for a time of prayer. And during this time of music and reflection, if you could also write down any prayer requests that you have in the comments section on Facebook. For those of you on the phone, you could certainly call me later with some of those prayer requests, and we'll put those on the newsletter. So listen now for Catherine Parker's Jesus, Lover of My Soul. Thank you.
Thank you, Catherine. Beauty, that is spirit food for the eye and for the ear this morning. Thank you.
Amen.
So let's join our spirits together as we come together in prayer. Holy God, Holy Three, Holy One, we thank you with every fiber of our being for your presence in our lives. Whether we are conscious of that presence or whether we assume it or whether we don't quite feel it all the time, we know that our feelings are slippery things, that your presence is steady. And so we thank you for your steadfast presence that we know when we gather together in person and that we're learning to know even when we are gathered in our separate homes, in our varied places. Thank you, even from those of us who don't love technology, thank you for the technology that allows us somehow to be together in worship this day. And thank you for your spirit, the original technology, maybe. Thank you for your spirit that since the beginning of time has blown across your creation, your spirit that is implanted in each one of us, your spirit that connects us, that binds us together, that continues to live in each one of us, each day of our lives, whether we know it or not, you still are God. You still are here. And we thank you for Jesus, whose teachings, whose example, whose life and death and resurrection have marked us as people of love for the world. And thank you for his call to live not just for ourselves, also to live for others, to live as though your kingdom is already here. And so as we do our best to live that way, as we confess the ways that we do not live that way, and as we get back up and keep moving forward with you, we lift to you these prayers this day. We pray for Betty Harvey. We pray for Warren and Kathy Miller. We pray for Gary Hazard, who has a CAT scan tomorrow. We pray for Marvin Randall, who has returned home to his wife, Eleanor, and to his family from the hospital to be there with them. We lift to you all the prayers in our hearts that we may not be able to speak aloud publicly this morning, but which we know that you know. And we thank you for your steady presence and guidance during these last 6 months in the ministry that I've had with the folk in Morrisville and that the folk in Morrisville with me in all the ways that we've sought to be your people in that place in the world.
With Arthur, we lift up the family of Don Dion, a good friend who passed after a long battle of acute myeloid leukemia. We pray with Liz and with her seven-year-old, turning seven today, I think, son David, who prays that mean white people can learn to be nice to everybody. And that his hurting wiggly tooth will come out safe and soon and not get lost. With Donna, we pray. Her mom called the paramedics for Donna's dad yesterday. He would not go to the hospital. COVID tests will be upcoming. So we pray for Donna's parents. With John, we pray for rain, for lawn, gardens, the Parker pumpkin patch, for trout, for the lake, for all who are feeling particularly parched right now. We pray that we can continue to make the adjustments we need to be a people of faith, a worshiping people, a people of love and people of mercy and compassion and justice, during this time of COVID, of social distancing, time of an awakening to the plight of those who are marginalized, that we might be able to maintain unity as one human family in the midst of diversity. We pray for the reentry teams that are making plans for how it is that we can safely and faithfully come back together in person as a community. And we pray for all those whose voices are heard but not listened to, and not heard at all. Give us ears to hear, eyes to see, and hearts and hands to embrace. All this we pray.
And hear us, God, as we lift to you the prayer that Jesus taught to us. Our Father, who art in heaven, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Thank you all again for joining us in this time of worship. To think if there are announcements. I don't know of announcements this next week in Morrisville. I'll be sending out a newsletter on Tuesday morning. So if there are announcements that I do need to know about, please email them to me and I'll make sure that they're in there.
Okay. Tomorrow night is our Bible study, our Bible at home curriculum. And so I encourage you to join us at 7 o'clock through our Zoom meeting. On Tuesday night, the White Fragility and White Privilege class will begin studying that book. And on Wednesday, there is a Taze class in the afternoon and a reentry meeting as well. You can find all those in the announcements on our newsletter. I think that's all the ones that I have as well. Okay.
So as we wrap up this morning, as we wrap up our worship this morning, hear this ancient benediction from Paul. May the love of God and the unity of Holy Spirit and the presence of Christ be with you all now and forever. Be with us all now and forever. Be with this world now and forever.
Amen.
And as we leave, as we end our worship this morning, the music that will be closing out this time is a delightful piece that Charlie Yerrick and four of his friends, they got together in the backyard in a socially distanced sort of way. Mm-hmm. And recorded a couple of quintets from Haydn's Divertimento. And so this is the Rondo from the St. Anthony Chorale. So Charlie and friends, thank you for this offering. Grace and peace, y'all.
Peace.
Amen.